eventually do want to teach on John 14 through 17. And I was trying to go there today, and it was just like, nope, stay right here. And I'm like, God, that's a one-point sermon. It's like, stay right here. And my friends are here, Bob and Anna Marie, and I want to preach a really good sermon and impress you guys, which is like a really good sign that I'm going to fail because God doesn't like that. But it's like, I've got a one-point sermon today. That's what I got. So I want to look, and it's so incredibly beautiful. And before I go there, I just want to ask you a question for you to be thinking about. If you're brave, feel free. I like interaction. I like that. But I'm going to tell you my story, and your story may be similar to my story. But it's, as I think about it, it's really pretty sad and pretty stilted. Maybe yours is the same. If I were to ask a question, Holy Spirit is, what would you say? Holy Spirit is comforter. Thank you, Bob. Holy Spirit is comforter. Holy Spirit is guide. You all are good. Thank you. Holy Spirit is teacher. Good. Growing up, I would have said, Holy Spirit is weird. Holy Spirit is a bit feel uncomfortable. And I grew up in the United Methodist Church, as did most of you, and we've tended through the years, kind of, and I've mentioned this before, kind of treat Holy Spirit as that weird uncle that we kind of avoided at Christmas and New Year's. And you guys had great answers. That's so good. Because I, for years, thought he was a little bit strange. And kind of thought, well, that's just for the charismatic folk. We don't really want anything to do with Holy Spirit. Our theology might be good. Theology might be good, but in practical ways, we don't really know much about him. And so I got hung up on one verse this week, and, and I've never done this before, and I don't tell jokes well, but I heard a joke, and so y'all bear with me, because I tend not to tell jokes well, and this is either going to be great, or it's going to fall flat, and you're going to be like, don't ever, ever, ever do that again. But there were three folks talking about their churches and why what was on their steeple. And the Episcopalians and the Catholics were like, well, we have the cross because we believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then the other guy was like, well, then, you know, the Congregationalists, we have the weather vane up on top of our steeple, because we're pretty, you know, democratic. We have democratic conventions. And the United Methodists said, well, we have a lightning rod on the church because we remember that we were struck by lightning once and we don't ever want it to happen again. And so as Wesleyans and United Methodists, we have a beautiful, glorious history of John Wesley. And I want to talk a little bit more about him later, but we have that, but we're like, ooh, I don't know if we ever want that to happen again. Because it was pretty messy, and it was pretty wild in some ways, and pretty fiery, and it's kind of maybe cool that we were founded in that, but we don't want to go back there. Holy Spirit is sometimes, because we try to control him. We try says it again. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And while staying with them, this is Jesus, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. But John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. I did a word study on that word, didn't find anything, you know, just, it's just a promise is a promise. A promise is an assurance. A promise is, it's a surety. This isn't like a vain hope. It's the promise of the Father. And you all remember when I preached on 2 Peter chapter 1, and Peter is saying we have these very great and precious promises. Talked about that for a while. These very great and precious promises, talking about the authority of the Word of God, that God's Word is trustworthy and true. This word for promise, the promise of the Father, it's the same root. It's the same root as that word. And it's, and if you think about the promise of the Father, and again, it's just, there's a profundity of that. Just think about that for just a second. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Who is the Father? Jesus, Philip asked Jesus that question. Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus said to him, don't you know me? Philip, don't you know me? Jesus is the Father personified. The Father is the one who sent Jesus. The Father is the one who's trustworthy and true. The Father is the one who is good. The Father is the one who sees you. The Father is the one that has created the heavens and the earth. The Father is the one that sent his beloved Son to leave glory, the incarnation, and be born to be a sacrifice for our sins. And if the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit, you all can believe that it's good. It's not weird. It's not awkward. Well, he's good. He's good. He's good and he's loving. And the church at Laodicea, you have your Bibles. I want to flip over there for just a second. Revelation chapter 3. To the angel, I'm in verse 14. Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works, you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. For you say I am rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So profound to me that Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. That church left Jesus outside and they did not wasn't enough that he intellectually believed in the gospel, that he made an intellectual assent. Yes, okay, I believe that. It wasn't enough. He had to be born again. He had to be born again. And there is an experience that we all can have, that we must have with the Lord, that it goes beyond just an obligation, a weekly obligation. And it's, Lord, I want you. I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose again, and you saved my sins, even mine, just as John Wesley. And we can have that assurance. Now that's the Holy Spirit. We can be born of the Spirit. We have to be born again. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on his name. We must be born again. Paul had the harshest rebuke to anybody that he ever wrote to in his epistle to the Galatians. He's going after them, and you read his writing, and he is angry, and he's ticked. What made Paul angry? He said, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you've begun in the Spirit, and now you're trying to work it out in the flesh? Continue on in the Spirit. Flow with him. Holy Spirit is the promise. We need him. We need him. Not only when we are saved, y'all, we have to be born again. And his Spirit will come in. And that which is in us that's dead, he'll bring it to life. When I was born again, I was so scared. I lived my life afraid. I told you this before. When I was in second grade, we moved from Poplar Bluff, Missouri to Edwardsville, Illinois. And the teacher called my mom. It's like, what is wrong with April? She won't crawl out from under the desk. I was just terrified. I was terrified. And spent most of my life, I don't know why, I just was afraid. But when I said, Jesus, you're more than a fairy tale, and I want you. I've grown up hearing about you, but you're real. And I see it in these believers around me. I want what they have. And I knelt down. I said, Jesus, I want that. That was all I said. I want that. I want what they have. And when I said that, it was like liquid joy poured into me. And what had I been so afraid? The Lord just filled me with joy. It was joy. I was born again. But did it stop there? No. Because the Holy Spirit's a promise. And he wants to teach us. And he wants to guide us. And he wants to walk along with us. Y'all, I don't want us to be a church. I told you 2 weeks ago that God's blowing out our boxes. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I don't want to be part of a church that we leave Holy Spirit outside. I don't want to be part of that. I want life. I want hope. I want everything he died to give me. And that's Holy Spirit. And we invite him in. And we let him in. And we just sometimes we're quiet before him. Some of you may have a word. I'm going to talk. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm going to talk about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about that because he gives us all gifts. But before I do that, you all just need to know that Holy Spirit is a gift. And he's a promise. And he's a promise from the Father who loves you, who sent Jesus to die for you. And he wants to be an intimate part of our life every single day. What does that tangibly look like? Just a few little examples. What does that tangibly look like? I've told you over the last year that one way that Holy Spirit ministers to me is he ministers to me through songs. And Paul says in Colossians, he said, sing, be filled with the Holy Spirit and sing to one another. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The psalmist talks about being surrounded by songs of deliverance. And I'll pray every night, Lord, come minister to me in the night, Spirit of God. Just minister to me. Give me dreams, but however you want to speak to me, Spirit of God, come. And a lot of times, y'all, he'll give me songs. I'll wake up with a song. And it's just a promise he wants me to remember. I'll get up in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, just lead and guide me today. And he'll just start talking to me, just assuring me he'll give me a scripture or jar filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 in the morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Y'all, the message hasn't changed. Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. It's to all who believe. We are born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Fills us with his Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, wait for the promise and you will be filled with power from on high. One of the places we visited in Armenia was Khor Virap. And it was a place where St. Gregory the Illuminator, I've never heard of him. Have any of you ever heard of St. Gregory the Illuminator? You ever heard of him? He's a saint of old and lived like at around 200 AD, late 200s. And there was a lot of persecution in the world at that time, and people were being killed for being Christians, burned at the stakes, lions, all of that. They were being killed and slaughtered, and St. Gregory the Illuminator was thrown into a pit. There's some debate whether it was 12 years or 14 years, but he was thrown in this pit. If you were left alone in a pit for 12 years, would you make it? That'd be hard, right? Food occasionally. But for 12 to 14 years, that man was in that pit. And he came out of that pit, and he evangelized all of Armenia. And in the year 302, Armenia was declared a Christian nation. And it's still a Christian nation to this day. One man changed his entire nation. These 12 men, these 120, changed the entire world. We cannot do that apart from the Holy Spirit. There is a power, there is a presence, there is, and I don't understand it. If I were God, I wouldn't have done that. But you know what? God has limited himself to work through his people. What would happen if every single one of us fully yielded and said, God, your kingdom come to me. God, your will be done. Fill me with your spirit. Give me the courage and the steadfastness that was in St. Gregory the Illuminator. Give me the fire and the boldness that was in Peter and Paul on that day. Because people that are yielded, people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, only that is going to change our great nation. We pray for our nation. We intercede for our nation. I'm thankful for our nation. My two grandparents served World War II veterans. And I'm thankful for the men and women who served this great country. But unless we turn and unless we yield, only that is going to change our country. And it starts with me. And it starts with you. Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Get to know him. We're going to talk more about him. But let's let him in and have that intimate relationship, that conversation that he died to give you. Yes, he died because he wants to, because you've heard that. But the other part, I was thinking, this is the last thing I'm going to say. I was thinking about this week. We give gifts on Christmas because Jesus is the gift. And so we give gifts. But as I was thinking about this whole Holy Spirit as a promise of the Father, I was like, you know what? It may be better to give gifts at Pentecost because Jesus is the